1 Peter chapter 4 and beginning at verse 1 on page 1153 in the Bibles if you want to look at it. It's a well-known passage. 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter writes to his friends in Rome, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because those who suffered in their bodies have finished with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. If you've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry." That's Peter, of course, speaking to his friends in Rome. It's not me telling you what I think you get up to out of church. I just wanted you to be reassured about that. They're surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Now, the Apostle Peter, of course, lived in a completely different world to ours. But the more we read this letter, the more we recognize that what mattered to people then still matters to most of us today. And that's particularly true about all that he writes about here, about ambition, about what they wanted out of life, about how their faith should shape their ambition. Of course, Peter was writing from experience. The Lord Jesus Christ had changed his life and what he wanted out of life totally, reshaped his ambitions completely. Before he'd met Jesus, he was clear about what he wanted. He wanted to make his family business a success in his own generation and be able to pass it on to the next. He'd wanted, like all his contemporaries, to be a good husband and father. He probably would have said that he hadn't got life totally sorted, but at least he was clear about what he wanted out of life. It wasn't world-changing, but it was certainly achievable. But after he met the Lord Jesus, everything changed. Bit by bit, Jesus reshaped his life. Jesus' agenda was his. The Holy Spirit remodeled all that he was looking for. And Peter was trying to encourage his friends in this extract from his letter to live the same full life that he'd experienced since coming to know the Lord Jesus. He didn't want them to settle for second best. And all this will be possible, he said, because of the cross. Whereas we read in verse 1, Christ suffered in his body. Because he suffered on the cross, because of his passion and his death, he'd broken the power of sin, giving to those who trusted in him a freedom that they could never otherwise have known, a freedom to live as he would want them to do, as we who know him would in our best moments want to do, knowing the power of the cross to change who we are and reshape our ambitions. And the headline for that is in verse 2. We want to live the rest of our lives not for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. What I want to do, Lord, is to live in accordance with what you want, not what I in my worst moments would want. It sounds great, but actually, what does it look like? The ambition to live for God shapes, firstly, our character, as we read about in verse 3. You will want to be different. What I might have wanted in the past, Where I might have looked for satisfaction then, I now see as shallow and ultimately destructive. Of course, as I said earlier, no one here would have been living in the way they'd have lived in the second part of verse 3. But we do need, in response to the cross, an honesty about our lives, a Holy Spirit-inspired passion to live in a way that is increasingly worthy of the cross of Christ. We need to be those who are secure enough in our relationship with Jesus to say, where do I need to change? And what's the priority that you want me to embrace? Because I was preaching on this like any preacher, I thought, right, if I'm going to say that, I better ask him. And so at 10 to 12, I sat in that corner over there and I said, where do I need to change, Lord Jesus? Not expecting to hear anything in the way that one does when one's admitting that one's sinful. Immediately, something very specific came into my mind. And before I could stop myself, I found myself saying, yes, I see that. See that needs to change. And you know, I think with your help, I can make that change pretty quickly. A very specific change of character. When Will returns to lead us in worship, it might be worth you saying, where do I need to change? Now, even though you all look as though there's no change needed, I bet the Lord will say something immediately. He wants to change our character. And secondly, the ambition to live for God shapes as well what we want out of life. All of us have hopes and aspirations, and most of them are entirely right and entirely normal. Most of us want a job, for example. Most of us would like to own a flat or a home. Most of us would like to be part of a family. Most of us like the odd holiday that would be really exciting. Most of us want good friends. All those are normal and quite right. But in verse 4, though, Peter highlights how to assess whether we're on the right track. Jesus doesn't want his followers either to feel disappointed by life or to feel they've wasted it. Is that what phrase wild living, which is actually used by Jesus when he talks in the parable of the prodigal son? He wasted his life in wild living. Is that phrase join us, which is basically called to live a life which will end in disappointment? Jesus doesn't want his followers either to feel disappointed or they've wasted their lives. He wants us to be fulfilled and to have made something of an impact for him. What do you and I want most out of life? I was talking to someone who brought a colleague to church. And as I was going to the back, as where she was going on premise, she was gone, I was going to the back in the other church just to shake hands in a kind of Anglican vicar sort of way as people live. And this chap said, I want a word. So I sat down with him and he introduced me to his colleague. He said, this is my colleague. He's my boss, actually. I brought him to church. He wants to become a Christian. Will you pray for him? I said, ooh, I said, thinking my mind going complete blank, of course, when put on the spot. I said, yes, I'd love to pray for him. I said, let's go back to where everyone else is being prayed for. We'll pray for him now. I said, let's meet up after work and we can just talk about it further. It was very interesting. After work, this chap and his boss came. This chap said, do you know, he said, my dad was a vicar, so there's never much money. He said, and when I came to London, he said, I was determined to move job regularly and earn more every time. I wanted my bank balance to go up and up and up. I said, oh, that's very good, because you'll be able to give very generously. And anyway, he swept that aside pretty quickly. He said, but do you remember 6 weeks ago, I came up because I felt God saying, "You're really selfish. What impact are you making for me?" He was saying that of himself, not me. And he said, "And you prayed that I'd make an impact. And now my boss has become a Christian. I think God is answering my prayer." I thought, when they've both gone, I said, "Lord Jesus, may I remember that lesson." Our character changing, our ambitions being reshaped. And finally, as we see in verse 5, the only thing that matters is what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks of us. His opinion in the end is the only one that's going to count. I have to say, in my own life, I'm full of people I want to impress. I'm full of people whose opinion of me matters to me. I was very recently taking a service with the Archbishop of Canterbury. He was doing most of it, I was doing a bit of it, as befits the fact that he's numero uno and I'm number about 8,000 on the seniority list. Anyway, I've known him since we were in our 20s, so I should have been really cool. And but I wasn't, of course. I'd written every bit of the prayers out word for word, checked the punctuation and the prepositions. But I was just thinking, you know, the only person whose opinion really matters is Jesus. I spend my life, though, struggling with that. I'm better now than I was. But if we really want to be who Jesus calls us to be, we just need to remember that he matters most. And part of prayer is regularly checking how well we're doing against these three criteria.